Once again, I want to welcome you to NAV Church Online. We are so grateful that you can tune in every single week as we continue to bring new content, new sermons, new thoughts for you, despite the fact that we're socially distant. I can tell you on behalf of myself and the entire team at Navigation Church, we're missing seeing you week in and week out, but we love the social media engagement that we're seeing. We thoroughly enjoy all of our NAV groups getting together via Zoom, and we're watching more and more people in our small group environments that are connecting. And so if you're connecting with us for the first time, watching us for the first time, make sure to let us know that you're here. Maybe one of the moderators in the chat room will throw up a question for you, or you can always go to our About tab, make sure to fill in. It's a real simple form, again, just letting us know that you're a guest with us here at Navigation Church. And if you're just now, if this is one of the first times you're connecting with us, we're in the middle of a series called School of Hard Knocks. And here's ultimately what this kind of boils down to is many of us have life lessons that we learned. It didn't happen at a university, a college. It didn't happen because of a degree or diploma. It didn't even happen because of a classroom that you sat in and received a textbook for. It happened because you went through something. Something showed up in your life that you weren't expecting. A pivotal moment shifted you. And you kind of had to figure out how to do life where you were at. You kind of had to figure out the new way. Maybe you said something you shouldn't have and you got burnt. Maybe a friend that was there to support you wasn't. And you've learned valuable life lessons. And we all have different degrees in the school of hard knocks. And so in this, a lot of these school of hard knock lessons have been ones that I have gone through and ones that I have learned. And today is, here's the title for you right off the bat. It's the prayer I didn't want to pray. And really been wrestling with when to do this sermon, how to do this sermon. I actually thought about waiting for Mother's Day to do this conversation with you. And the reason why is how many of you out there have praying moms or praying grandmas? Actually, here's a real easy way if you're on any of our social medias right now. If you got a praying mom or a praying grandma for you, give me an amen. Especially if you got a praying dad or praying grandpa. Why don't we give our fathers some shout outs there. So I thought about doing this in the coming weeks for Mother's Day. But then going to have something different that we're bringing to you on that Sunday. And this is one that just, and it's big on my heart, and I need to get it out there. And I realize I think I'd rather do it sooner than later, because later there's a chance you will be back at church, and I would have to do this looking at you. And I think this is an easier talk for me to do, looking at a camera, than it is looking into your eyes. I don't know. I don't think I'll disappoint you. I just don't know if I could be as honest is if I'm looking into a camera doing this. And so, because ultimately, for me, a lifelong Christian, a career Christian, if you would, in the sense that I'm a full-time pastor and I've been in this spiritual, religious environment for decades plus now, you would think that I would be to the point where I can talk to God about anything and having a conversation with Him about what I'm going through, what I'm struggling with, what I need, all those type of things. But the reality is there was a prayer that I didn't want to pray. And I don't think I'm alone in this. I could be, and hopefully I am, and you learn from my school of hard knocks so that you don't go through it. But really the genesis of where all this started was a conversation a year ago that I was having with an incredibly close pastor friend of mine that is a pastor of a church in a nearby town. And we were sitting in his office and we were just chatting along. And this is one of those guys that I on purpose open my life to on a regular basis. And he looked at me and he said, David, we all know that you have a public life and a private life. And I'm like, yes, sir. He goes, but here's my question for you. There's a public life, there's a private life, and a hidden life. In your hidden life, what doesn't anyone else know? And man, I froze. Because here's what I know. There was stuff hidden that I wasn't telling anyone. I even go as far as saying to my wife, to my families, to my coworkers, to even my closest friends that I felt that I would share, was sharing everything with, as far as the depth of my depravity and the guilt and shame and the life that I was hiding, there was a hidden life. And so I'm just going to ask a question real quick, and I want to know if something runs through your brain. For those watching me right now, there's your public life, the one that everyone knows, everyone's aware of, that you kind of show well, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all those different things. There's a private life, the innermost parts of who you are. Maybe you have a close-knit circle, loved ones, family, relatives, lifelong friends that you share that with. But then, what's your hidden life? What's the thing you don't share with anyone else? The thoughts that you have, the dreams that either scare you or entice you, the addictions that you're hiding. What's your hidden life? Because here's the thing. The moment I was asked that question, I immediately knew what it was. And here's the crazy thing about me is I know enough of the Bible to always be dangerous to myself. And here's what I mean by that. The moment he asked what my hidden was, I knew what the answer was, but I immediately lied. I'm like, well, I don't think there's anything. Everything seems to be going well. Everything's on the up and up. You know, you move immediately, pause, pivot, posture in order to get to a place where you don't look bad, feel bad, or have to face the issue that you know that you should be facing. But unfortunately, I know scriptures. And here's a couple for you. I'll give you one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. The first in the Old Testament comes from Numbers chapter 32, verse 23. And it reads like this: "But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and sure your sin will be found out." In Luke 8, 17, it says, "For nothing is hidden that will not be manifest, nor is it anything secret that will now come, that is now known, that will come to light." So here's what I know enough about the Bible and enough about God and enough about my spiritual and religious life, is you can't have a hidden man too long. Because even in your hidden places, even in the place that no one knows about, you're still sowing seeds. You're still sowing thoughts. You're still sowing actions. And it's true for an ear of corn as it is for your natural, spiritual, emotional psyche of a man or woman. The seeds that we're always sowing, eventually they start, if I can say it this way, cropping out. They start popping up. And so they can't stay hidden. And even though I knew what Numbers said, and even though I knew what Luke said, I still thought to myself, I do not have to tell anybody about this. I can hide my life from the rest of the world, and it's not affecting anyone. And I started asking myself, so why didn't I ask? Why didn't I tell? This was a very safe, healthy environment that I could have just been open and I could have been honest and I could have said what was going on in my world, but I still didn't open up and I still didn't tell and I still didn't ask. And for me, it boiled down to this. It was the pride of me. My pride saying that I could handle this on my own. My pride saying that I didn't need to tell anybody else. My pride saying that it didn't affect other people. And it's, I guess the way to say it is the pride of my flesh. And this pride that I had, this pride that I suffered with, this pride that I couldn't let my reputation be affected, my stance in a community, the way people viewed me as a pastor, it kept me from ever revealing what the hidden places were, and not revealing the hidden places, ultimately never saying the prayer that I need to. And here's what I would say I found along the way in my school of hard knocks, in this journey that I took in this classroom of life. I found three things that started happening, and there's probably more, but you know, I don't want to just overwhelm you with list and list and list, but I found in my life a couple things that started happening, and one of the things that was happening was I started justifying. I started justifying my hidden life, why it's okay. Why it's okay that I live this way, why it's okay that no one knows, why it's okay that I don't make it public. Here's another one that I did and I was fantastic at. I'm not hurting anybody else but me. I'm not affecting anybody else but me. I'm still getting my jobs done. I'm still showing up to work. I'm still being there as a father. I'm still being there as a husband. But here's what I didn't know was all these seeds that I'd been sowing throughout all this time of hiding and or hiding my hidden sins is eventually they start taking root. And where it should be kind of shoring up the ground, it was eroding the very foundation in which I was living on. And I was not able to continue to justify it because all those things that I used to justify my hidden man, they end up eroding out from underneath me. And so one of the things I started, if I start with justification, I will always miss my sanctification. And so in my hidden life, I started justifying it. I started finding myself being negative, which I'm not normally a negative person, but I started being negative towards the situation. I started being negative towards what I was actually facing and dealing with and having to come to terms of who I am and what I'm doing. I started becoming very negative to those type of things. And then here's what happens. Anytime someone would try to have a conversation with me about it or say this, boy, it seems you're distancing yourself or you're hiding something or you seem to be a little bit off, I would then be negative towards them to devalue who they are and what they were saying. Because after all, if they had value, that meant I had to deal with it. But if I could actually devalue them, somehow that still gives me worth. And so if you're in a place in your life and you know there's a hidden thing inside of you that you're not wanting to come to terms with, are you justifying it? Are you finding yourself negative to those who actually want to try to help you and bring life to you? Because there's something you need to know about your negative thoughts. Being alone with negative thoughts never lead to a positive outcome. It's an equation that cannot be fixed, cannot be changed, cannot be altered. If you're constantly alone by yourself, replaying the negative thoughts, the natural outcome from that is a negative situation, never a positive one. And so are you someone like me? And again, this is my lessons that I've learned from the School of Hard Knocks. Do you find yourself justifying the hidden things? Do you find yourself being negative towards the situation and or people trying to bring the situation to light or to your light? What about this? Are you finding resentment that you even have to deal with it? I know that may sound crazy to you, but it sounded crazy to me. But one of the things that I had to come to terms with is I am feeling resentful that I have to deal with this. I don't know why this is a problem. I don't know why I can't be like everybody else. I don't know why this is continuing to be in my face. Why do I have to deal with this? And I started to become resentful to the hidden places rather than running to God and saying, hey, I have a prayer that I need to give to you. I started resenting the issue that I was facing. Started resenting all the mental games that I was going through. And again, here's where this daggum Bible comes back to haunt me. And I hope you're not offended with me saying it like this, but sometimes you know so much that you should be able to go to it and go, okay, God, you already gave me an answer for it. But here's the thing, God gave me an answer, but I wasn't looking for the solution at that time. Because think about this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul writes this for us. He said, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. I cannot believe the words that Paul just wrote there. In order from being conceited, God gave him a messenger. Not only was it messenger, it was a messenger of Satan to torment him, to become a thorn in his flesh, a constant reminder of something. I know that part of the scripture I've become very familiar with. And actually, in just a little bit, I'm going to have you do an exercise. And last time I had you do an exercise, there were 3 chairs. This time there's only going to be 2 chairs. And I'm going to have you do this exercise where this tormentor, or if I could say this, the Satan on your shoulder, what is he saying? Because then I need you to also go to the other side to hear what the angel's saying or the Holy Spirit. But the problem is when you're in the middle of a hidden place, the only voice you always seem to hear is that messenger of deceit, messenger of Satan, telling you why you can do it on your own, but when you fail, then you're a failure because you can't do this on your own. Always changing the question right when you think you know the answer. And so then you end up resenting that you even have this thorn in the flesh versus viewing it through a God perspective. You only listen to what the demon on your shoulder says versus what the Holy Spirit or angel on your shoulder is trying to say to you. And you end up having resentment. And for me, resentment is the absence of faith in the reliance on self. Should be a key indicator that I'm more looking at myself and more looking at me versus relying on the faith that God has for me. But I wasn't finding the faith that God has for me, and here's why. I didn't want to talk to God about it. It was a prayer that I needed to pray that I didn't want to pray. And on verse 8, it actually says, Paul writes this, he says, that I pray 3 times. I'm here to tell you now, I pray no times. That honest prayer of God, I need to figure out this thorn in my flesh. So I started thinking, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray these things to God? Why don't we take our hidden places, not our public, not our private, but our hidden? Why don't we take them to God and have these honest conversations? And so I wrote down a couple, and maybe some of them you can kind of connect with. Others, ones you go, no, that's not me. Because like this one, God is unapproachable. Like for me, that one's not an issue, but I do think for some people, he is unapproachable. I've actually had people say this to me, I'd love to come to your church, but I'm pretty sure if I walked in the doors, the walls would come crumbling down. And here's the deal, they wouldn't. But if we believe our sin is so great, we can't even walk towards God, why would we take him our sin and talk to him about it? So maybe for you, is God unapproachable? Is that why you don't pray to him? Maybe we don't pray because it doesn't work. If you pray all the time and it doesn't work, here's the thing I found. Prayer always works when I work prayer the way that it's supposed to be worked. Because I will tell you now, hey, God, I need this and I need this and I need this and I need this. God doesn't work off our to-do list. God doesn't take our laundry list. God doesn't do our honey-do list. It is our job to partner up with God, and we see this, that Jesus taught this on his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, where it says, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on heaven as it is on earth. There are times that when we align with God, our prayers do work, but the only time we go to God is to tell him what we need for him to do for us. He is not a genie, and he doesn't jump at our every beck and call. And so maybe prayer hasn't worked for you, but the question is, are you working prayer? And another one is, well, we want to do it on our own. I already mentioned this one. We can do it on our own. Why ask for help? Actually, we grew up in a family that mom and dad wasn't there to support, and you actually had to find that you had to make life happen on your own. So if you always had to make life happen on your own, how is it that you're going to go to God and ask for help? You've literally been trained to do it a different way. And so we think we can do it on our own, but the one thing you have to know in this thing called Christianity is the Holy Spirit was sent here after on Pentecost. Holy Spirit was actually sent here to do life with us in order for us to grow and mature and to be our comforter and counselor. So there's no way that we can do it on our own. Maybe here's another reason. We don't go to God with prayers of the honest prayers that we need to because we don't want to look bad in front of God. And how many times have you ever heard someone say this? Hey, you know, I need to just work on me a little bit, then I'll start coming back to church. And here's another way to say it is, once I think I'm good enough, I will go. But the thing is, we're all sinners. There's a famous sermon that says, we're all sinners in the hands of an angry God. I actually think we're all sinners in the hands of a loving, merciful, gracious God. And I'm not saying anything negative about that sermon, because if you read it, it's absolutely powerful. But the one thing we have to recognize is that we are sinners and God is here for us. Maybe we don't pray because we just don't want to bother God. After all, COVID-19 worldwide, God is dealing with so many things. Why would he want to deal with our little bitty issue that we're going through in our hidden area of life that no one knows about anyway? Why would I absolutely bother God? And I think we have a wrong paradigm and perspective on who God is at that time, because God is as intimate with you as with anyone. There's one scripture, and I'm sure I've said this to you before. It actually says that God knows the very number of hairs on our head. But when you actually look at through that scripture and you study it out a little bit, it doesn't say that he knows the number of hair. He knows the number that hair is. God's so intimate with us, when you have a hair fall out, he doesn't just say, hey, subtract one from their grand total. He actually says, subtract hair 2,647 from them. God is that intimate with us. Why don't you think he would be wanting, or I don't want to make this about you. Let's say that. Why wouldn't I think that I'd be bothering him if I'd bring something like this to him? And then here's one, and the other ones I would say, the ones that I've mentioned to you already, I'm not really sure they're my issue. But this one I know it was, as well as the next example I want to give to you. For whatever reason, there's times in my life where I can just be ridiculously honest with God. Have those blunt conversations, have those honest conversations. But I'm not sure when it came to my hidden, a thing I'm not telling anyone else, my thorn in my flesh, for whatever reason, I didn't feel like I could hand that to God and that he could handle it. I don't know where this thinking comes from. Maybe it's this little demon on a shoulder versus the angel I'm supposed to be listening to. I've even processed, is there something in my childhood from my parents that they said to me or handed down to me or unwillingly or unknowingly gave me as some life tool? Honestly, I just don't have an answer for it. I just thought for some reason I can't hand this to him. And a while back, a scripture that I've seen 1,000 times, and I know I've seen it 1,000 times because every Easter, this is one of the key passages that we read out of. And for instance, Matthew 27, this would be one where Christ is hanging on a cross. And you have this moment in time where our Savior's been on a cross for 3 hours. And if you don't know this story, ultimately, this is how you can find salvation through believing in Jesus Christ. Our Savior hung on a cross and died for your sins. We all know that story. But he's hanging on this cross. And the last time, the heavens opened, and there was a voice that came down from heaven that said, well done, or this is my son. There was no heavens opening up this day. It was just heavens being covered in the middle of the day, dark as night, like midnight. There was no, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased, which is something we all want to hear God saying from to this day. These mothers that were around him, mother-like figures and sisters that were around him, they all grew silent. Disciples, they weren't able to do anything, and most of them fled while their Savior hung on a cross. And in Matthew 27, verse 46, Jesus actually says this to his Father, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you've just had the weight of the world put on your shoulder, every sin from those who are going to receive you as their Savior laid at your feet that you have to pay the price for, every earthly relationship seeming so distant from you, And Jesus in this moment was able to say, "Hey, Dad, where are you?" I think if God can handle that prayer, He can handle any prayer I have for Him. But for some reason, I just didn't. And I honestly think I know why. I think I didn't want to hear what he had to say. You know, as long as I can keep my issue, as long as I can keep it hidden, as long as I can deal with it the way I want to deal with it, I am in control. My rehab, my recovery, you know, my walk back, whatever you want to kind of term you want to put to it, the pride of who I am says that I can handle this, I can keep in control. But the moment I go to God and say, "Can you handle this for me?" What if He wants to handle it in a way that I don't want to go through? Or what if He's okay sending a messenger to have a thorn in my flesh, and I just want the thorn gone? See, here's the deal. I remember one time years ago, I think I was in high school, injured my back in a really bad way, and I had to start going to this physical therapist. And I went to this physical therapist, and they gave me, I promise you, I think they were like 2.5 pound weights. You know, I'm this teenager, and I work out, you know, and I can lift all this weight. And all of a sudden, they had me lay on my back, and they had me put thumbs up, and they had me do this exercise. And I could barely lift 2.5 pounds. And the one thing I know is, if you submit yourself to an expert, they'll have you do things that seem meaningless, but in the long run, they can be the most meaningful things you've ever done. And if you go to a nutritionist and they say, and you go, "I want to be healthy," let's be honest, most of the times they're going to tell you to stop eating everything that you're eating at that moment. If you go to a financial advisor and say, "Hey, I'm broke," they're going to probably have you start doing things 180 degree difference than what you're currently doing. If you go to a mentor for business, there's a chance the way that you've always done it, you have to change your way you communicate. You have to start living more by policy. There's all these different ways to do life. But here's the thing. You have to actually submit to what they're having to say. And I knew that the moment I said the prayer, "God, will you actually help me with this hidden sin?" I take all control out of my hands and I give complete control to Him. Because if you are wanting something out of your life, I guarantee you He is going to do what it takes to actually eradicate it from you. Versus what we end up doing, we start trying to learn how to live in a codependent relationship with it. And so God, He ends up coming in and goes, "No, if you want to say this prayer to me, then I'm going to remove it from your life." Or I'm going to use all things together for the good of those who love Him. So I want to read one more set of scriptures for you and just give you a final thought as you're wrestling with what is the hidden place in your life. And it's 2 Corinthians 12. We've already read verses 7 and 8. But let me read to you verses 9 and 10 right now. Because after Paul says that he prayed for it to be taken away from him, God said this, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." Or another way to say it is, He ain't taking it away. "Therefore, Paul, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults and hardships and persecution and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Ultimately, what Paul is saying here is God doesn't have a desire to take away the thorn of His flesh. But in order to use that thorn to draw close to God, in order to use that thorn, or let me just say it in my own words. If I didn't have this thorn in my flesh, I would have gotten lost in me. And more often when I get lost in me, I lose sight of God. And I don't want to lose sight of God. I always want to have my God. So my thorns in my flesh, they keep me grounded. They keep me grounded that I need a Savior. They keep me grounded that I need God's grace to live in this world. They keep me grounded that I won't be able to hide hidden sins for very long. They keep me grounded that I constantly need a Savior. And instead of justifying my actions, I need sanctification for my belief systems. The thorn in your flesh, the thorn in your flesh keeps you grounded. And here's the one thing, and if you're on the front side of needing to say the prayer that you don't want to say, I want to tell you this, that saying this prayer has taken me on one of the greatest spiritual journeys that I've ever been on in my entire life. Dare I say, the shift that my life actually needed. And in this spiritual journey, by the way, I want to tell you this. I keep saying the phrase, in this spiritual journey, not religious journey. Because I believe religion are for people who are afraid of hell. Spirituality are for those of us who have been there. And if you're living with a hidden sin, you know what I'm talking about. You're living through hell, the mental torture, the emotional torture, the relational rifts that you continue to build. I want to encourage you now to reveal your hidden sin. Now, in saying that, don't start texting people. Don't start just calling people. There has to be a safe environment where a loved one, just like with me, sat across from the table and said, I know the public David. I have a pretty good idea who the private David is. But if I need to help the hidden David, I'm here for you. And if you don't know who that is, I want to encourage you to start with the prayer that you needed to pray a long time ago. And your prayer could simply be this, God, you and I both know this hidden person, and I'm tired of it. You are an approachable God, and I know my prayers are going to work because I can't do this on my own, because I've been trying to do it on my own for a very long time. How's that working out for you? And so, God, I'm going to bother you with this. And I'm going to be as honest with I can that I have a thorn that is poisoning me. But God, I need you to make it a blessing to me. So I'm going to have you do an exercise in a little bit in order to start the conversation of the hidden you. But before I shift to that, I just want to say this. If you're listening to me right now, and when I talked about Jesus hanging on a cross, when I'm talking about the hidden you and you're tired of that, Jesus came to free you from all those things. If you're listening right now and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, where you can pray to Him, where you can talk to Him, where you can have these honest conversations with Him, and you're tired of the darkness that is inside of you, and you're ready for the light of Christ to be in you, I want to invite you to simply say a prayer with me right now. And it's not some magical pre-written, formulaic prayer that you need to do. It's simple confession of your mouth because of something that you believe in your heart. And what you're believing in your heart is today's the day that you're ready to be saved. You don't want to live in fear. You want to know what eternity has for you. But you also want the best out of life here for you now. If you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, could you just say this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, today is the day that I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I am so tired of hiding. I am so tired of running. I'm exhausted of trying to do this on my own. I now pivot to you in order to give my life to you. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. And then stay forward, I follow you. God, I thank you for every person that said that prayer right now. I thank you for every individual that have made a commitment to you. And Lord, as they let us know about that through any type of our digital communications, I ask right now your Holy Spirit to become present in their world. That couch they're sitting on, that chair they're at, the car they're driving in, Holy Spirit, invade their place right now, letting them know that you are a real and a living God wanting to be with them from this day forward. Be present among them, God. And for every person out there that when I ask the question, what's your public, what's your private, what's your hidden? God, on this day, I pray for every hidden place in our life, let it become almost so torturous to us that it drives us to you. Let this thorn in our flesh, rather than it being something that kills us, God, may it be something that draws us closer to you and keeps us grounded to what you've called us to in this life. I bless every person right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. So I have one exercise I want to step behind the table and do with you. But before I do that, if you said yes to Jesus Christ for the very first time, or maybe you recommitted your life, somewhere on the platform that you're looking at, there's a tab, there's a link there from About Us on Facebook, possibly on some of our platforms, a tab pops up for you to actually click yes right here. I just want to encourage you, send us some type of note. We want to hear from you and we want to know more about this next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ that you just took in order for us to celebrate it with you. Now, I do want to invite everyone just to step back here with me as I have you do an exercise. And this is an exercise that I learned some time ago. And as I mentioned before, last time we had three chairs. This time, we have two chairs. These two chairs need to face each other. Now, nav groups, I know that many of you did the three-chair exercise. Now, I'll be honest, I cheated just a little bit because my wife and I were both in the shot. We just kind of moved our bodies like this. But this one is a great one because you only need two chairs. And if I were to say to you right now, this week during your nav groups and your small group communities, I want you just to tell your hidden sins. I actually think that would be a very unhealthy and unsafe environment. Unsafe? I'm not sure that's a word. Non-safe environment to do something like that in. Now, if you are ready to take that next step and just get raw and gritty, then find those that are safe for you to do it. But for everyone else, here's the exercise I want you to do. You have two chairs. Now, we've all seen the old cartoons, and I've referred to it a few times in the sermon already, where there was a little demon on this side and a little angel on this side. Or can we say this, Satan or a messenger of Satan on this side and the Holy Spirit on our other shoulder. So you are going to sit in these two chairs. The first chair that you're going to sit in, I want you to say, what is it that the demon, the messenger, the Satan, the enemy, what is it that they say in your ear all the time? And it could be one thing, it could be 20 things. It could have to do with your family, it could have to do with your work, it could have to do with how you view yourself, your belief about God, it could be about your personal devotions that you do or don't do when it comes to your spirituality. I want you to sit here and I want you to say all the negative things that you hear this one saying to you. And now, if it's one thing or if it's 10 things, you need to be honest about what it is that you say, that you hear said about yourself. But then when you're done with that, and possibly someone in the nav group, you need to make sure they cover all the areas. Because let's say someone sits here and they talk about family, they talk about work, and they talk about spirituality. You then are going to stand up and you're going to sit in your second chair. After you move to your second chair, you're going to say it as if God was sitting on your shoulder. What do you think God says about you and who you are as a person? What do you think God says about your abilities and the gifts and talents that he gave you regarding the work? What do you think God says about you and your potential for a relationship with him and the power that's locked up inside of you through the gift of the Holy Spirit? What do you think God has to say about your future? What do you think God has to say about your children? What do you think God has to say about every one of those things that were from a negative perspective? What is the positive God perspective on those things? And then groups, as you are meeting and as you are doing this exercise, there are going to be those people that pivot from one chair to another. And they don't know what these words are. They don't know how to view it from this perspective. And that's where, as a community of faith, we can start speaking truth. I want to encourage you to speak truth, not from some pop culture, Dr. Phil, Oprah mentality. I want you to speak truth from a biblical perspective of what God has to say about us. That way, it's not some false hope, false narrative, or false belief system, but it's rooted in the real Word of God. And see what happens the next time this voice starts speaking about the hidden, about the hidden, about the hidden. I have a feeling you'll immediately start hearing the proper voice sitting across from you saying, yeah, but it's time to bring it to the light. And when we bring it to the light, I promise you, rather than it being a thorn that's trying to kill you, it can be one of the greatest blessings that you've ever had. Why? Because it reminds you of the nearness that you need in a Savior like Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for being a part of what we have here at Navigation Church this week. I hope this speaks to you. I hope you're able to find truth inside of it. And above all things, I hope I was able to help you take your next step in a growing relationship with Jesus Christ.